You're listening to Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
The Raiders were born in Oakland and played 13 seasons in L.A. Both cities will always be part of our DNA. But today, we begin a new chapter in our storied history. For today, January 22nd, 2020, we are now the Las Vegas Raiders. And today, Las Vegas officially becomes our nation's capital.
And there you hear it from the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders, Mark Davis. The silver and black belong to the Silver State. Eddie Pascal and producer Trav here in the Beat Laboratory at 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway in Alameda, California. We were out there yesterday, and we'll talk about the exciting day outside of Allegiant Stadium in just a sec. But, oh, I should also say, speaking of things that happened outside of Allegiant Stadium yesterday, we caught up with our good pal Jonathan Abram, safety for the silver and black. And he was good enough to give us a few minutes in between all of the madness and excitement that was yesterday. We'd break it all down with John. We talk about his injury, where he's at in terms of his recovery and what we could expect from him in 2020. And really, what his impressions have been of Las Vegas, because of the injury that he suffered in week one of last year, he's had a little more time and opportunity to spend in the desert. And we get into all that as well. So stick around for that. That's all good stuff, I promise. But let's go back to yesterday for just a second, because it was a huge day, a day that will go down in the annals of history of the silver and black. The Oakland Raiders are no more. The Las Vegas Raiders are here. They are here. And it was cool. As I said, I was out at the event yesterday, spent the day in Las Vegas. I actually spent a day and a half there. Went to a community event with Darren Waller and Alec Ingold on Tuesday, and then Wednesday started out with a tour of the brand new facility in Henderson, and then wrapped up the day at the announcement outside of Allegiant yesterday afternoon into yesterday evening. But it was a day that we all knew was coming. It was a day that we didn't have necessarily marked on the calendars, because we didn't technically know when the announcement was going to come down, when the technicality of it all was going to kick in. But it is a trip to see. It is a trip to go to Raiders.com, and the banner across the top, looking gorgeous, I might add, says Las Vegas Raiders. To hear Mark Davis say the Las Vegas Raiders, to hear Governor Sisolak, a true legend who I think we're going to try to get on this program, Travis. I think we have to. A man of his energy, a man of his gumption. We're gonna hit him with an official invite. Can we do this, Travis? Let's do it right now. Governor Steve Sisolak, if you are listening to this humble program, this program that Trav and I put so much blood, sweat, and tears into, if you're locked in on your drive somewhere throughout the Silver State, give us a call. We'd love to have you on and ask you about your numerous Raiders, your enunciations, your enthusiasm, your energy. We love it, baby. We love it. So this is your official invitation to come on the pod. Hit producer Trav's line if you're interested, Mr. Governor, and we will get that cracking. Quick sidebar. But, yeah, it was a really exciting day to kind of see it all come to fruition. And one thing that I really thought that I don't think has gotten a ton of pub that I thought was really unique and really kind of special was that when Mark Davis and the governor and Mark Bedain and everyone made this announcement, right, it was in front of, yes, the assembled media, but the general admission population was all construction workers that were working on the project. So it wasn't, you know, any Joe Schmo off the street. I thought it was really powerful that Mark Davis wanted to make this announcement. He wanted to say, you know, kind of make this proclamation in the history, for the history of this organization, and he wanted it to be in front of the people that have literally spent days, weeks, months, and years building the stadium, and I thought that was really cool. Additionally, $500K, big money, goes from the silver and black. to help clear the meal debt in the state of Nevada for the kids, hashtag for the kids. And yes, all the people that have tweeted at me saying it's a shame that there is even such a thing as a meal debt in this country. It's bad and is sickening. Yes, I'm with you 100%. We live in a country where meal debt should not exist. But you have to give major props to MD, to Bedane, to everyone involved for looking at an issue and making and trying to make it better. There are a lot of issues in this world. We know that. And it's really easy to get on Twitter and yap, 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 and say, oh, this shouldn't be a thing. Yes, but you have to give credit where it's due for people who are trying to fix problems. So, producer Travis, throw in the applause here. 500K to the kids, helping the kids. As everyone knows who listens to the podcast, producer Trav and I, very dedicated to helping the youth of this great nation, and specifically in this instance, in the great state of Nevada. So well done to everybody. And we're going to get more into yesterday and what it means going forward in just a little bit. But listen, we might be the Las Vegas Raiders. Some things may change, but one thing that will never change, producer Trav, is how we begin this program. You know what time it is. Transactions. So, since we last spoke to you, a couple things in the docket are coming down the pipeline. Number one, the Silver and Black signed Nevin Lawson to a one-year contract extension. And this is actually going to be a fun piece of trivia one day when people ask, what was the first thing in terms of the roster that the Las Vegas Raiders did? Well, they signed Nevin Lawson to a one-year deal. A guy who comes in, misses the first four games of last year dealing with a suspension, but really kind of carved out a nice little role for himself as the year went on. Obviously, a guy who contributes a lot on special teams, a guy you can move around in the defensive backfield, a guy who we saw in the nickel, played outside. And as our boss, Raider Vito, was saying just a little bit ago, you can never have enough corners on your team. Right? You just can't. It's like having offensive linemen. You can never have enough good offensive linemen on your team, just like you can never have enough good defensive backs on your roster as well. So big congrats to Nevin, a Las Vegas Raider for 2020. The other transactions that have come down the wire since we last spoke, two reserve future deals that have come through. One defensive back, speaking of, defensive back Ken Crawley, as well as defensive end Kendall Vickers. For fans of The Office, I wonder if Mr. Vickers is related to D'Angelo Vickers. We can put the, what's it called, Trevi? The grasshopper sound there, because I'm sure that reference, I don't know if that one landed. It felt good coming out, Trevi, but I don't know if it landed. So yes, those are your two new additions in terms of the reserve future. Once again, that's DB Ken Crawley and defensive end Kendall Vickers. So yesterday, Trevi, as I was telling you, I went to check out the new facility, and we'll get to John Abram in just a sec. I went to check out the new facility with a bunch of guys, and it was great to see him. Great to see some old friendly faces. AJ Cole was there, DC was there, Darren Waller was there, TGU, the greatest underdog himself, blessed us. And actually, this is kind of a fun little side. So when we went to tour the facility, obviously it's an active or live construction site. I'm not quite sure what the term is. Producer Trav, as you know, I'm not really a quote-unquote man's man, but we get there and we have to kind of suit up, right? So you got to wear the boots, the hard hat, the vest. You know, you got to make sure, because safety is the name of the game. You got to make sure everything is on the up and up. So we get there, we're getting all suited up. Players arrive, and they have all the shoes lined up, or the boots, and you know, they keep a handful of boots on site for guys like me and our camera guys and Jimbo. Engineer Jim was in the mix as well. You know, you just wear them for the hour or two and then you give them back. They clean them, all that. But TGU, Trent Brown, a.k.a. the greatest underdog, he went on the tour yesterday, and they had to buy some special boots because, shocker, they didn't have a pair of size 18 construction boots just kicking it in the closet. So they got Trent at a beautiful pair of brand new boots. He looked incredible, looked very svelte per usual. And we went on the tour. And man, I have got to say, it was my first time physically being in the building. And while the building is still very much a construction zone, it is pretty cool. Pretty cool. They've done so much work on it where really when you look at it from the outside, when you're driving by, the exterior really looks almost done. And I'm not a construction guy, so I can't really make that proclamation that, oh, the exterior's done. But when you drive by it, it looks like kind of almost a finished product. When you get in, you know, the rooms are broken down, right? So there's clearly, hey, this is where the team meeting room is. This is where the defensive meeting room is. This is where the weight room is, all that kind of stuff. And you can see it kind of come together. And I know that it's, you know, it is a live construction site, but you're really just, you know, you're kind of taken aback by how big it is, just how grand it is. And we didn't even go upstairs. Since we did the tour with the players, we did strictly things that apply to the players. So the team meeting rooms, the indoor practice fields, you know, like I said, the weight room, things like that. So we didn't even go upstairs to where, you know, guys like us are going to be next year. The studio, we didn't see any of that. But this place is so big. And I was joking with AJ because obviously it's all enclosed. And so the practice fields are enclosed. And he was like, oh, I wonder if I could punt and hit the roof. And I was like, ah, dude, I bet you probably could. I mean, you'd have to try a little bit, but I bet you could do it. And he was saying, you know, sometime next year when you know, maybe during the bye or something, we have a little downtime. He goes, I'm just going to come out here and just see if I can do it. I bet you can, man. Shoot, I bet you can. But it was a really cool thing to kind of experience, get to take in, get to see it in its current state. Although, if I'm being honest, the hard hat really, it did a number on my hair. It really did. Thankfully, because I always stay prepared, I had some emergency suavecito on deck. So when I left the construction zone, I went back to the production studio where we were working at it for the day. Managed to make sure everything was in tip-top shape. But yeah, man, very, very cool. And I know it's going to become, the stadium and the facility both are really going to become places where Raider Nation are going to, you know, descend on and are going to want to see. And I really can't stress enough how exciting it's going to be to see that building, both buildings, when they're all cleaned, pretty, done. Because it really, both of them, going to be state-of-the-art, going to be the creme de la creme. And it is going to be such a game changer for this team, for this organization, and I cannot wait. I know we're in this kind of, it's here, but it's not quite here, because obviously you still got a couple months before the off-season program kicks off. That's all going to be in Alameda, but we are getting closer by the day, and it is very, very exciting. And speaking of the buildings, plural, in general, yesterday, as I said, before all the excitement, before all the pomp and circumstance went down last night, we had a chance to catch up with our good pal John Abram, who, like I said, in addition to Trent, Derek, Alec Ingold, Markel Lee, I feel like I'm forgetting a guy or two. Oh, Plunk was there. It was great to see Jim Plunkett, by the way. But yes, before all the excitement went down, we got a chance to catch up with John. And I will say, if you don't believe that we were actually outside of Allegiant Stadium when we did this interview, just listen to the audio. It's kind of fun. You can hear the drills, the clanging of metal, hammers. Trev, what other tools are on site at a construction stadium?
Cranes.
Cranes, yeah.
They probably don't make, they might make some noise. Tractors.
Tractors, you know. ATVs. They're not ATVs, but they're like the little carts, you know, that haul
utility
things.
Utility
vehicles, yeah. Yes. You can hear it all. So bear with us, and because this is what you get with us, not only the finest in production, but you also get, you know, just some good convo. So here it is, without any further ado, our conversation with number 24, safety for the Las Vegas Raiders, Jonathan Abram.
Jonathan, this is a first for us. We're doing the interview standing outside Allegiant Stadium, and it's coming together, man. It really is. I know you haven't gotten in it yet, but what do you think? We're going to the outside in.
I mean, looking from the outside, the name, you know, the Death Star, it's kind of living up to it. You know, I'm really ready to get inside and see, you know, what's going on in the inside, see the, you know, the construction, how much longer it's going to take. You know, they say it's going to pretty much be put together by June, July, so I'm looking forward to it.
Dude, it is pretty crazy that the whole Death Star kind of monster is like really taking over. It's pretty badass, though, in terms of like a nickname for a stadium.
Yeah. Death Star, or dreams come to die. That's what I told Mr. Mark last night.
So obviously today you guys have a busy day, obviously coming here to check out the stadium, but this morning we also went, we saw HQ in Henderson, got to check that out. And that was really cool for me too. I hadn't been there to see just how big it is, to see how like state of the art, how everything is just top of the line. And I know we still got a long way before it's actually done, but when you got to walk through, go in the team meeting room, the defensive meeting room, I mean, what was that like for you getting
there? I mean, honestly,
through?
Just seeing like seeing everything come to life. You know, we've seen these models and pictures and everything, but just being there, you know, having our feet on the actual concrete, seeing, you know, how big, you know, how much of an upgrade coming from Alameda, you know, of what we expect, you know. I've always heard the saying, you know, Vegas does everything bigger and better, but seeing that firsthand, it was true to its word.
You know, obviously we wanted to have you on for a lot of reasons. You're one of our favorites, all that jazz too. But you're kind of in an interesting position where you've been in Vegas a little bit more than the rest of the guys just because of your situation this year. So does it feel like home yet? Probably not. But what's it been like these past couple months kind of getting some trips out here to the desert and kind of get to see this thing come from the ground up?
I mean, honestly, for me, like you said, you know, with me being hurt and injured, you know, I had a little bit more chance and time and opportunity to get out here. And so I took full advantage of it, you know, seeing, you know, what was going to become of our new home, you know, for years to come. And so far, you know, I pretty much, I love everything about the city, you know. It's, for me, I mean, it's a bonus. It's an upgrade from what we come from. You know, I haven't purchased a home, so I don't really have a place I call home yet. But just being out here feels more and more like home every single day I'm out here.
You know, obviously we mentioned the injury and everything that you've dealt with the past couple months, but sitting here, you know, late January, a few months out from the offseason program, where are you health-wise and kind of where are you in that journey to get back to 100%?
Well, I mean, I'm like 90% now, almost to 100. I've started back benching, got 185 10 times the other day. Could have done more, but, you know, my trainer is limiting me. You know, got full range of motion, just have to build up, you know, a little bit more, you know, strength in a certain area of my rotator cuff. But other than that, you know, coming back for, you know, training camp, OTAs, I'm looking to be 100%.
So you're thinking when we get back to the facility,
I'll be full go.
Full go. All right.
I cannot wait.
Outside of having to sit out on game day and watch your guys go to work without you, what do you think the hardest part of the past, call it 5 or 6 months, has been for you?
Just trying to find the footing, you know, trying to find, what's the word I'm looking for? Can't think of the word I want to use. Just not comfort, but stability. You know, just trying to become stable, find something that's like, you know, home base, you know, somewhere where you can always go. I feel like that's been the hardest part for me personally, trying to find just stability.
And why was it important to you? And, you know, I don't think there's a right or wrong way to rehab, right? It really depends on the guy, what's important to them, you know, how the injury too. But why was it important for you to be around 1220 this season as much as you were? Because I would see you in the hallways once or twice a week, say what's up, catch up. But why, you know, there's some guys who go away when they know that their season's done. Why was it important for you as a rookie young guy to be here?
I mean, for me, you know, I was drafted in the first round, you know, so it's a lot of expectations, you know, and things I have to live up to. So, I mean, there was no need for me to go home. Like I said, I already, you know, didn't have a place to go home to. But so more so, you know, I just love being around the game. I wanted to be around my teammates. You know, those are my brothers. Those are my friends. You know, I needed somebody to lean on throughout this whole injury process because I've never been injured throughout my career. So just being around those guys, it made things easier. You know, I had more people to talk to. You know, I got to see the changes in game plan week in and week out. So, you know, coming back, you know, I looked at it as going into my second season. I don't want to hit the rookie wall and, you know, I can't, you know, handle game plan changes, you know, and just seeing different things that happen throughout the course of the season, you know, guys coming in and out from injuries and things like that, you know, guys being cut, guys being picked up. You know, I saw a lot of things go on throughout the season, you know, that, you know, most guys who go home, they wouldn't have seen.
You know, in terms of the X's and O's, was it beneficial for you to kind of have a different perspective of how things go into a game plan?
Yes.
Knowing that, hey, I'm not going to suit up on Sunday. I'm going to be on the sidelines, you know, with the coaches. But was that helpful for you to
yes.
kind of take that different vantage point?
It was very helpful. You know, I saw, you know, being around this coaching staff, I will say, I feel like week in and week out, they went over things that happened throughout the course of the game more so than anywhere I've seen or heard of. You know, it was on numerous occasions where it was like 5 to 6 plays per game that they were, you know, formation-based, you know, tendencies that showed up every single week. You know, I feel like, you know, just sitting from the sideline, you know, I saw it. I feel like being on the field, it would have been a chance for me to make plays because I would have trusted it and I would have went and made the play.
You know, one of the things that I think was so kind of refreshing about your rookie season after the injury, right? I mean, obviously you have a really nice game that first time out, but kind of after the injury happens and you're in the building kind of rehabbing, it was really cool for us to see you become that cheerleader, right? rooting your guys on, you know, doing as much as you can, being the verbal support from the building wherever you were at. But when you look back at the seasons that Dallin had, E. Harris had, 3-5 Live had, I mean, was it kind of cool for you to kind of see them collectively rise to the occasion as the season went on?
Yes. I mean, because, I mean, if we just being honest, you know, a lot of those guys wouldn't have the opportunity if I didn't get hurt. So, you know, me going down, it created the opportunity for Eric. It created the opportunity for Curtis and Dallin. And, you know, those guys, they done the job and they stepped up to the plate. And, you know, they made plays when we needed them to make plays.
You know, E. Harris has that 3-interception game,
too. Three. Should have had 4.
He should have had 4. Honestly, if you look back at it, too, you look at the film, he should have had 5, which is unreal. But when you look back at Eric's game, I mean, were you just sitting there on the couch or on the stands, just like, what is this? Like, come on, man. Like, this guy can't miss right now.
No, I was just looking. I was actually on the sideline. And I was just, every time I said Phillip was just like, hey, just throw it up. Eric's over there somewhere.
I know, it was pretty funny. I was joking with the guys in the box at that point. I was like, at this point, let E. Harris go play wide receiver. Let him return the ball.
Doing.
I mean, seriously, every time he gets the ball in his hands, he's going to find the end zone somehow, some way. But, John, we appreciate your time, and I'll get you out of here on this. You look at this city, you look at everything that's going into this franchise, everything that is changing in a positive way. To still be a young guy, to be a guy with so much, you know, still to prove on the horizon, is exciting to kind of see a city rally around this team the way that Las Vegas has these past couple months.
Yes, I mean, and me personally, you know, I've seen it firsthand. You know, Las Vegas has invited us in with open arms. You know, they're ready for us to come here, and we're ready to be here. You know, it's a lot of expectations. You know, we have to do our thing and come in, but more importantly, like, you know, like Mr. Al used to say all the time, we just got to just win, baby. Just
awesome.
Win.
Appreciate you, gentlemen.
I appreciate you for having me.
Thanks, guys.
And a big, 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 big shout out to our guy, Jonathan Abram. And it sounds like we will be seeing him on the field sooner than later, which is good news for everyone. Him, me, Trav, the entirety of Raider Nation. It is going to be exciting to see number 24 back at work. And can't come soon enough. Cannot come soon enough. Speaking of, since we've gone Vegas heavy this week, for good reason. The 2020 NFL Draft will be in Las Vegas. Yes, sir, it will. April 23 to 25, the 85th. Jeez Louise, there've been 85 of these things? The 85th iteration of the NFL Draft is going to be in Las Vegas. And in the spirit of that, in the spirit of forgiveness and compassion, before we get into victory formation, just a quick message from our pals at the NFL.
The 2020 NFL Draft is coming to Las Vegas.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
Make your plans today. The future is here.
With the first pick.
The 2020 NFL Draft, April 23rd through 25th.
And with that behind us, it's time for everyone's favorite segment. A segment that even though we've inserted ads into this program, Producer Trav, do we have a sponsor for Victory Formation?
No official sponsor.
No official sponsor yet again. Incredible, incredible, incredible. Maybe one day, Travy, but that day is not today. So it's Eddie Pascal's Producer Trav in Victory Formation. And per usual, we welcome in our senior esports correspondent, our junior draft analyst, hashtag KMM season, and our resident expert on all things Southern California, the great KMM Booby Cannon Cartwright Martin III. KMM was Gucci, baby.
Not much, man. Happy to have you back in the facility.
I know, man. It is weird. It's sickening and probably unhealthy that when I don't see one of you guys for like 36 hours, I'm like, oh, this is...
My life feels out of balance.
Yeah, man. I'm having withdrawals. It's terrible. It's sickening.
Did you have a good time in the desert?
I did, man. It was good. It was a busy day, a productive day. I got to, you know, launch into the community, which you know I love.
Oh, yes.
I love it.
It's a soft spot for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I might be this hard badass on the mic here, but I love helping the kids. Hashtag for the kids. But nah, man, it was good. It was the event yesterday was good. It was very exciting. But yeah, it's good to be back. Good to be back. And yeah, ready to rock. Back in the Beat Lab, feeling good, feeling all right. Yeah. All right, Booby. So before we get into it, do you want to do boring game of the week now, or do you want to talk a little draft? Where are you? Where's your headspace?
I feel like we've gotten in the tradition of just always kicking off Victory Formation pretty early with the boring game of the week.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get it out of the way.
Yeah, let's launch.
I don't need to pull anything up.
I think I know where you're going.
I've had this one bookmarked for a while.
I hope I know.
The boring game of the week, and really possibly 2020.
is the Pro Bowl.
Yes, it is.
It's so bad. It sure is.
The Pro Bowl is a joke.
It is. It's
so bad.
To quote our good friend Will Gavin, it's farcical. It is farcical. That said, everyone go to Raiders.com to check out our video of Rodney Hudson at the Pro Bowl. But come on, it's a joke.
Yeah,
it's an embarrassment.
All the content leading up to the Pro Bowl is legitimately entertaining. There's a lot of good interviews that come from it. But the game itself, I'm sorry, I don't want to do it. I don't want to watch Derrick Henry not get tackled because people don't want to hurt themselves, you know? It's so bad. I don't need to see Saquon line up as a cornerback. It's just not for me.
When was the last time you watched the Pro Bowl?
Probably the last time I was forced to working here. That's the only time I've ever watched the Pro Bowl is when I've been forced to watch it for work.
Hey, producer Travi, last time you watched the Pro Bowl?
I mean, generally I'll put it on, but I, you know, it's background noise. I'm not really watching it.
I don't want to interrupt. I will say.
But you will anyways.
Yes, yeah. I will.
With all due respect.
Yeah. I remember one year, it was when we were going through our big WWE phase.
Well, in I don't know if that phase has ever ended,
no,
really.
But it was like peak off season when we were watching a match like every day on the Apple TV. And it was the Pro Bowl, but at the same time, WrestleMania was on, and I had it on my laptop streaming because Marcus was hitting us up about it.
Oh, yeah.
So I was half like watching the Pro Bowl and half watching I just couldn't even give it all my attention.
Aren't we due for SummerSlam? Isn't SummerSlam coming up in the WWE universe?
I think it's in the next summer.
I mean, imagine, yeah, it would be summertime.
Oh, that makes sense. What's the next WWE pay-per-view?
It is WrestleMania.
Oh, really?
Because that was in...
It's like
was
their
Marcus's
Super Bowl
birthday, so that was like March.
Is it Royal Rumble? Hang on, I'm pulling up the list
else
right
you
now.
Been watching.
We've gone off the rails. It took all of about 2 minutes. January 25th, Worlds Collide, NXT. Oh, the Royal Rumble. Yes, the Royal Rumble is this weekend. Oh, wow.
I would much rather watch the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah. Tweet at us things you would rather watch than the 2020 Pro Bowl at Camping World Stadium.
I would love to see those tweets.
What do you got, Travi? What would you rather watch than the 2020 Pro Bowl? I would rather watch what you're thinking. I would rather watch Wyoming San Diego State basketball than the 2020 Pro Bowl.
Yeah, pretty much any basketball game, because I'm not a basketball guy.
I would rather watch a documentary on the Royals than the 2020 Pro Bowl.
This is a fun game to add on to the boring game of the week. What would you rather do than watch the boring game of the week?
I'd rather sweep my garage.
I'd rather get a physical than watch the 2020 Pro Bowl.
Cough. Cough again, please. Perfect. Everything checks out.
Oh, yeah. All good, baby.
I won't be watching.
What a joke. I'm proud to say that I don't know if I've ever watched. I'll tell you this. I've turned the Pro Bowl on accidentally and turned it off.
I'd rather stare at a blank TV screen than watch the Pro Bowl.
I'd rather get my eyes dilated than watch the 2020 Pro Bowl.
Oh, man. I love it.
Maybe this is why we don't have sponsors. This might be it. This might be the reason.
Hold on. Let me ask you this, though. How do they make the Pro Bowl more entertaining?
They don't. And I've thought about this a lot. The Pro Bowl needs to go away.
I think you keep the name, you know, like you're a Pro Bowler, like, but there's no actual game.
Because think about this. And I am not proud how much time I've spent thinking about this. Because we all know, everyone here, everyone who probably listens to this podcast is all of the same mind, that the Pro Bowl was a disgrace. If you listen to our program and you like the Pro Bowl, please, I beg of you, one, seek immediate help, but two, hit us up and tell us why on earth you possibly like the Pro Bowl. The issue is, football is the ultimate game of warriors. It is such a violent game, and guys get hurt, right? You can't play a toned-down version of football. It's impossible. You can do that with basketball, right?
Football?
You can do – I don't know. You can do it with basketball. You can do it with baseball. You can kind of tone these things down for the quote-unquote all-star games. You can't do it with football. It is physically impossible. You change the game. So this is my thought. This is my plea. You get rid of the game. Because, look, the Pro Bowl, quote unquote, is always going to have to exist, right? Because guys need to be Pro Bowlers for contract incentives, things like that. The NFL is going to want to, televise something that all these sick individuals are going to watch, right? Here's what you do: you get rid of the game, and instead of doing that, you blow up the skills competition, and you make that something people actually care about.
I was going to say, just thinking about like NBA All-Star Weekend. I don't know why, but everything about the NBA All-Star Game feels so much more official.
Well, it's a celebration, too.
Sure, but I mean, like, when we went to go cover the Pro Bowl a couple years ago, Wax, our socials are, and Marcus and I, it felt so corny. Like, if you watch it on TV...
Well, it doesn't help that it's in Orlando next to Disney World with Mickey and Minnie.
Sure, but I mean, like, even just the aesthetic of, like, the basic... stands they have, like, it all just feels so corny, like that neon yellow they have, and like, I don't know, it could be that it's in Orlando. I don't know.
Send it back to Hawaii. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. The NFL deals year after year, especially as of late, with players not wanting to go to the game. Oh, I rolled my ankle. Oh, and look, I'm not trying to make light of anyone's injuries or anything like that, but listen, there's a big difference between being like, oh man, this ankle's kind of nagging, and oh boy, oh, I see Orlando's on the schedule. Oh yeah, I'd love to be there. The ankle, I can't make it. The way to help that, put it back in Hawaii.
Yeah, the Pro Bowl Skills Challenge has a dodgeball match involved. That's ridiculous. I don't care about watching 300-pound men throw a ball at each other. I'm sorry. I don't want to watch grown men play dodgeball.
Wouldn't you – now, I'm just throwing this out there. Wouldn't you be intrigued – we've joked about this a lot, about who is the strongest arm in the NFL. Wouldn't you actually, care to find out?
They used to do the
– yeah.
How far you can throw the ball. Like, yeah. Brett Favre.
Incredible. I would love to watch that.
Yeah. Like, it'd be like a javelin throw.
Yeah.
Make it like an Olympics.
Yeah. Do with the receivers that are there, trick catches. I mean, these viral catches now are becoming such a big thing on Twitter.com and the IG, right? I would love to see Larry Darnell Fitzgerald II blindfolded, doing some sort of jumping off of a horse to catch a ball. Like, do something like that.
You want to make it like a dunk contest.
Yes.
Yeah, you want to see 100%. The flair.
I need it. Because think about it. All-star games are predicated. They are based. Their DNA, their lifeblood is flair. Because no one cares. The game doesn't mean diddly squat, baby. If the NFC wins, what happens? Nothing. If the AFC wins by 45, what happens? Nothing. Entertain me, Roger. Do it.
Yeah, I guess they can't really do like a home field advantage like baseball did.
No.
Yeah.
There's no point.
I do think that's dumb, though. I do think it's dumb that the MLB, whoever wins, gets home field advantage for the World Series.
It is a little too much.
I think that's kind of stupid.
I understand.
They were doing the same thing where no one was playing in that game.
I understand. Yeah. At least I can understand that in principle, right? Where you want people to care about the game. That's always going to be the issue with this. But I'm going to sound like, oh man, cranky Eddie. But there's so much on television these days, on all the streaming services. There's so much on the Flix, Hulu, Apple TV, all that stuff. People who aren't giving us any money, which I think I should bring up. But there's so much that you can do with your viewing time. And for guys like us who spend so much time watching and living football, like on a Sunday in January, like I want to go to the brewery, man. I want to crush a couple cold ones. I don't want to watch, like you said, Derrick Henry fake flatten, this third string left guard from whoever,
Yeah.
The Baltimore, I don't care about that.
I haven't watched a single playoff game from start to finish. I've tuned in for bits and pieces, but it's been so nice to just not go, wire to wire.
And maybe we're not the target audience for the Pro Bowl,
Could be.
I mean, yeah, they need something to fill that weekend between the championship games and the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
People, they need that NFL in their veins.
Fix it, Roger. Hit
me
up.
Well, they'll be able to keep football in their veins. Segway, Eddie.
Bang, bang, bang.
With the XFL, which is just around the corner. I know we probably shouldn't be promoting the NFL's rival.
We're not getting money yet. Don't worry.
However, I've been debating it. Not debating it. I'm sure of it. But I've been searching for it for quite some time now. And I took to Twitter.com today to ask if anybody knows about an XFL fantasy league. Because I feel like that would be incredibly fun.
Yeah, I I agreed with you. I said, if you find one, count me in, baby, because I'm ready to rock. You know, it'd be kind of fun. And if people actually listen to this program, all 19 of you, and we love all of you, we should do an XFL Fantasy League with the fans.
Yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be a good
time. So if
anyone
out there, if any of you guys are willing or know how to do it, how to set up an XFL Fantasy League, hit our lines and we'll play with you.
I'd be all for that. It seems like such an easy idea from a marketing perspective if you're the XFL.
Make money, money, make money, money, money.
If you're just starting out a league and you got to figure out a way to make people care, what a better way than to get them to play fantasy football, because that's how a large majority of people watch the NFL.
Yeah.
That's why, because they can get closer and like root for players. If you're rooting for people that you don't know or teams that have no history or anything like that, why not get them to play fantasy football to engage with it and get your viewers to watch the game?
And I was telling you this as well, where I famously been a non-fantasy guy, mostly because I'm not very good at it, but I feel like if we were due to the XFL one, we'd be more on an even playing field.
Nobody would know anything.
Exactly. Although, as I did tell you, I would be taking Matt McGloin, number one overall pick, and I would be pretty upset if you took him.
I wouldn't. My pick would be another former Raider, Elijah Hood.
That's your number one pick?
Yeah, he's the running back of the XFL,
cow?
Man. He's playing for the L.A. Wildcats,
ooh,
too.
Oh,
I didn't realize that.
Trav, do we have a Wildcat sound?
I don't have that.
Oh,
let's go to the University of Arizona archive for that.
Yeah. Ooh. But, yes, Matt McGloin, quarterback for the New York Guardians.
The face of New York.
Yes.
Where are they playing in New York?
MetLife.
Really?
Are they really? Jeez. How many people are going to go to that week one?
I can't imagine they have the upper deck open.
Hey, we don't have an XFL team near us, do we?
LA's the closest.
That would be great to go on a random
tailgate.
Saturday. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That'd be a blast.
Absolutely.
I saw somebody tweet today that the Seattle Dragons have already received like 20,000 like season ticket, you know, purchases.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, the whole point being that people in Seattle are ready to embrace a second team there.
They're sports hungry up there, though, because they need something to kind of fill that void. It's Pacific Northwest 80 clocking in, but they need something to fill that void because they're still so hungry for a basketball team. They have nothing, you know, they have nothing to root for that during that time of year. The hockey team is 2 years out, so they have that on the horizon. But really, the Mariners are an atrocity. The Mariners should be relegated, really, to AAA. But they have the Hawks, and that's about it. So it doesn't surprise me at all.
And the Sounders.
Oh, yes, my beloved Sounders. How could I forget the champion Sounders, who are coming out with a new kit in just 2 weeks?
That's good, because their
the
current
last ones
kits
were
god awful.
They were bad. And I'm a Sounders guy, and they were brutal.
That kind of green.
Well, I don't love the green, but I was more referencing the kind of, sort of, maybe not really camo situation they had going on. It was not for me. It really wasn't. But I'm hopeful that these new kits, now with Gucci 2 stars on top of the crest, will be a little more aesthetically pleasing, a little more sexy boy, and I'll get to fire away and bring one of those bad boys.
But it's ridiculous that Seattle doesn't have a basketball team.
It is. It's sickening. It's sickening.
Well, where are the Dragons playing? Do you know? They're not playing at...
They have to be.
Yeah, they got to be. I don't know.
Husky
Producer
Stadium?
Trav,
I don't know.
Oh,
I mean,
boy. If they're playing at Husky Stadium, I know who I'm rooting against. Yeah, where are the Dragons playing? They're at the Clink?
They're at the Clink, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's good. I'm glad they're not at Husky Stadium. Anyway, so yes, to get back to our original point, if any of you guys are doing an XFL Fantasy League, please hit our lines. And we want to get in on that action.
We'll partake.
That sweet, sweet action. Anyways, KMM, back to the draft. Draft 3 days in Las Vegas. Going to be quite the scene. It's going to come to Vegas to be prepared to embark on our first season at Allegiant Stadium. The celebration, the draft red carpet, the main stage, and the experience, all free. And you know, if it's free, it's me, baby. All free immersive activities, live entertainment, performances, yada, 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 yada. The main stage is going to be next to the Caesars Forum, right? We've seen all the renderings of the water, the boats, this and that. My question to both of you guys, and you can take the water if you want. Know that option is on the table. How would you arrive to well not arrive to the draft, but when your name was called, when they said that the Las Vegas Raiders have selected left tackle Kyle Booby Cartwright Martin, how would you want to arrive to the stage?
I don't know. I mean, they all walk out. I mean, because people have this misconception that the draft stage will be the fountain at the Bellagio.
Correct.
It's not. That's just the red carpet where they're going to get to show off their fancy suits and
yes.
all that.
But my question to you, when they call your name, and in this world of fantasy, what are you doing? I mean, Do you want to take a boat in? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I would love to just maybe arrive in a helicopter.
Oh, that's class.
Pay homage to the man I respect more than any other, and Kobe Bryant, who used to take a helicopter to every Laker game to avoid L.A. traffic. That's just savvy.
Yeah, smart.
But a helicopter seems pretty cool. If I had to not use any props or, like, really any vehicles of any kind, maybe I'd try to rappel out of the ceiling. Drop down from the heavens. Or maybe rise from the bottom of the stage.
Oh, that would be nice. That would be nice. That would be class. That would be pure
I don't
class.
Know how they'd time all that, though. But
well, yeah, I mean, come on. But if you knew you were going number one overall, right?
Oh, yeah. They would be fun. I'd do something special.
Producer Trevi, what are you going to do?
Let's see. Who's the famous magician?
Oh, David Blaine?
You know,
Chris Angel?
Yeah, Chris Angel.
Oh, the mind freak?
One of those guys, you know, do something crazy nice to appear, you know?
And then you just, you got to do like, you know, you kind of just present yourself.
Yeah.
And then there you are.
Yep.
The tight end from USC going number one overall to the Las Vegas Raiders.
That'd be special.
This is what I would do. Now, if I knew I was going number one overall, I would come out like I was coming for a prize fight. So I would have
featherweight.
Yeah, I've always told you this, Travis. I would love to have been a featherweight boxer in a previous life. So they'd be like, you know, the Las Vegas Raiders select cornerback from the University of Oregon, Eddie Pascal. Kill the lights. Darkness. Gimme Shelter starts playing ever so softly. We crescendo, Travis. We crescendo, we crescendo, we crescendo. Spotlight. Two people holding championship belts. Then I walk out in a suit, naturally. But over my suit, one of the boxing robes, you know what I'm saying? And I'm shadow boxing. I'm getting it up there. Boom, 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 boom. Crowd's going crazy. Gimme Shelter. It's like a 9-minute song. We're getting louder. We're getting louder. The people are getting crazy. I hit the stage. I stand up. Well, I'm standing, obviously. They take my robe off. I'm wearing a beautiful suit. And then I just, you know, wave to the crowd.
Who's holding the belts for you, Marcus?
He probably has experience holding a belt,
yeah.
So he'd have to. There'd be multiple belts. I feel like I would have to have an Oregon belt, because that's where I'd be coming from.
Maybe have the duck hold it for you.
Oh man,
that would be dope.
God awful name.
Puddles. Maybe have him hold a belt. Have the Sucrum hold a belt. Maybe just have, like, I don't know, three belts. I'm sure I could come up with another belt. But yeah, that's how I would do it. I was actually going to tweet this video out before we came in, but the day got away from me a little bit. You know, it's very busy. And I have this great video of Trent Brown, a.k.a. TGU, a.k.a. The Greatest Underdog, and of him signing yesterday at the event. And he's signing all these construction helmets. And his precision, I mean, the speed is incredible. Really awe-inspiring for a man of his size. But it got me to thinking, and I was like, man, that'd be pretty, like, a pretty badass memento to have if you're, like, a construction guy, to have your helmet that you worked on the stadium with signed by Derek or Trent or, you know, whoever it may be, Trent Sieg maybe. And I was thinking, if you guys had to have one item, a non-traditional item, so you got to take jerseys, ball caps, things of that nature, they're gone. What do you think would be a really cool thing to have signed? And I'm not saying it has to be a Raider. It can be whoever. It could be the Mamba. It could be Tom Petty. May he rest in power. Whoever it is, the lead singer of Tool, Travis, whatever.
Well, if we're sticking Raiders, I think it would be kind of cool, like, have the camera body, have that signed by you know, a bunch of different guys. Yeah.
Would that show up? Would it be a silver Sharpie?
It'd be silver, yeah. I mean, it'd be kind of difficult, but like, I think that'd be kind of cool.
That would be pretty cool.
I think science.
Because think about this. It's going to be you're putting that in a case. You know, you're not shooting with the camera anymore after that.
I think an old one.
Yeah. Signed shoes are pretty cool. I mean, for any sport, like if Kobe were to sign a pair of Kobe's, if Josh signed a pair of his cleats, and you put them in a glass display case. Yeah, I don't know if the shoes were included in your.
I feel like it's a little too traditional. I'd appreciate you stretching your creativity just a little bit.
That's fair.
Just a little bit for the sake of the bit.
Maybe a laptop. I don't know.
Have your phone
signed.
I
actually, when I was here's a weird one. When I was at Oregon, they had Kenny Wheaton, the great
Ken Wheaton,
come to the duck store to sign autographs, and I had him sign my student ID.
That's pretty cool. That's a good one. That's a good one.
It wore off pretty quickly, but
I'll allow it. That's a good one. When I was thinking about this last night on the flight home, and I was writing it down on bits I wanted to get into, the first thing that came to mind was pony keg. To crush a couple cold ones with the greatest underdog, and then to have him sign the keg, I think would be pretty cool.
Or maybe a circular table in a studio.
Yes, or a circular table in a studio. Travis is referencing our beautiful circular table here that is filling up. We've kind of stalled out, obviously, because we haven't had guests the past couple weeks, but we got to figure out a way to get this to Miami. It's not going to happen.
It's looking kind of dusty.
Yeah, it could use some cleaning this offseason for sure. For sure. But yes, a circular table is pretty cool, but yeah, it's some good ones. Speaking of, you boys excited to head down to South Florida in a couple days?
I told Trav today, I walked out of our dojo and I said, I just wish I was in Miami right now. I can't wait to be in Miami.
Yeah, just get me there. Like, I'm not looking forward to getting to the airport since it's such an early flight.
Yes.
But,
Wait, hold on. I took a screenshot of the weather app yesterday, and I sent it to you and Jim, but neither of you replied.
It was a busy day, Cam.
I know.
What was the weather looking like in Miami?
It looks awful. It looks downright awful.
I find that hard to believe.
Well, I guess it is pretty bad in Orlando right now from the sources.
Monday, rain. Tuesday, Wednesday, partially cloudy.
Well, it rains every day in Miami.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, rain. The image I sent you yesterday had thunder showers and lightning.
Well, see, this is why you can't, and I've told you, Kyle, I've told you.
No, but the point is that rain is in the forecast.
But as I told you, it rains every day in Florida. And you're in South Florida, it rains every day. But the forecast I'm looking at is showing me different results than what you just read off.
Please read them.
I'm looking at rain Monday, early rain Tuesday, sunny Wednesday, no rain Thursday, partial rain Friday, partial rain Saturday.
And see, that's different than from what I'm looking at.
It can't be trusted. That is the point, Kyle. That is the point. None of these people know what they're talking about. It cannot be trusted. They are professional. They are ministers of misinformation, mm-hmm. is what they are.
But rain is in all of our forecasts.
At some point, it will rain there.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. You've been to Florida, bro. I've been to Florida with you.
And the thing that sucks is it's going to be 75 and raining. That's the worst.
Yeah, it means a little humid.
You guys, listen. An easy way to combat this, just wear more silk. You're not going to have to worry about it. The silk will dry quickly. Easy peasy.
I imagine sweating in silk is really uncomfortable.
Well, I'll let you know in a few days.
Just think of Tony Pro and the Irishman, how he dressed in Miami. You know, the shorts and the little...
man. But as what's his name,
Al Pacino
said, you can't trust a man who shows up to a meeting in shorts like that.
I know, but
no respect.
Wearing shorts is pants are just a cleaner look.
Yeah, I'm not a shorts look. Guy.
Neither,
no, not a shorts
no.
guy.
I'm a shorts guy in the comfort of my own home
or at the gym.
Yes,
that's it.
I prefer the man capris, as you know. But I mean, shorts are like when I go to the gym tonight, I'll be wearing shorts.
Sure, there's a professionalism that comes with pants.
There's some respect, some honor.
Yeah.
There's honor in pants.
There is.
Travi, what do you think our production schedule is going to be like in Miami? We'll do a Thursday, obviously.
Probably like a Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, should we go double? Should we go Gucci two times? Do two a weeks? Maybe a Thursday, Friday?
I'm thinking that, yeah. Well, it depends on, you know, the tent that's coming through.
Of course. If the
could be more, could be less.
If the tent gods are good and they're good and kind to us, Maybe we go three. Maybe.
We'll see.
Time will tell. Time will tell. So we'll put on the books now. Official podcast Thursday. Official podcast Friday. And then who knows? But the Satin Latin is gearing up. You guys are going to go a couple days early. Make sure everything is copacetic. And I'll descend. I'll be there Wednesday afternoon. You guys get in Monday. It's going to be very exciting. Any of you guys that are fans of the program that happen to be in Miami for the week, come holler at us. You'll know where we are. We'll be more than happy to spend some time hanging with you.
We're going
to
need as much silver and black support in Miami.
Oh, boy, I know. And I didn't want to – we won't get into it this week, but we'll do it next week on how are we going to get through the Super Bowl, you know? Spiritually, emotionally.
I mean, you want to talk about a game you're not going to watch.
Yeah, I don't even know, man.
But anyway, that's a
that's for next week. That's a discussion for next week. But yeah, it is dark. It is darkest before the dawn, as they say. But this game is pitch black. And on that note, let's get out of here. First soda is the Las Vegas Raiders in the books, feeling good, feeling all right. Yeah. So, Freddie Pascal, producer Trav, the great Jonathan Abram, KMM, engineer Jim, everyone else who helps us get from A to B on this little program, we thank you humbly, sincerely, and genuinely. So next time you hear us, we will be live from Super Bowl 50. What number is this? Anyone know?
53? 54?
From Super Bowl, insert number here in Miami. Like I said, Eddie, Trav, Kyle, sending you the deuces, and we will catch you guys next week on Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review on the Raiders Podcast Network.